So there will be a distinctive beauty that is associated with this body, as raised under these specific features that come out, whether they be the incorruptibility, glory, power, spiritual body, distinctive features. Beauty is what glory is going to be like for the believer.
Just to supplement what has been said about the body, just a moment ago, the earthly body, in verse 40, we're told that there are terrestrial bodies, bodies of earth, and bodies of heaven. Both have glory, to add to what we've already said. The earthly body has glory, but that earthly body has no glory that could be compared. This is the meaning of verse 41. The glory of the glory of the celestial is one kind of glory, and it's nothing like the glory of the terrestrial. What is glorious in the celestial is far surpassing what the glory is. And so to emphasize, it is not our vile bodies, it is our lowly bodies. It is not that God wishes us to ignore our bodies, it is that God dwells within our bodies, God the Holy Spirit. But to recognize that there is this raising. And so now when we go to a cemetery, we might think of the condition of that body just the day before death. And in many cases, we were reminded this morning, sometimes there are cases of death where the body has been wasting away visibly for years, where one is confined to a bed because of disease, where one has had their physical body completely deformed by various conditions. Here comes this body, a weak body. Even before death, it was a body of weakness, a body of failure, a body of emptiness, a body that didn't even do what the user of the body wished it to do. And so we bring to God as if it were this condition. We bring it to God, we put it in the ground, we bury it, we plant that seed. And God says, I can take that corrupted body, I can take that decayed body, and I can make it completely something different. It will be like the body of glory of the Lord Jesus, though it will be also have its own characteristic glory. And may I add with this, what do we do if we are in the condition, or how do we encourage those who are in the condition of possessing a wasting away body? There are those who visit nursing homes and healthcare centers and see this one has lost a foot because of gangrenous growths of diabetes. This one can't even speak anymore because of a stroke. This one has to say, please move my arm for me. Please scratch my nose for me because it's uncomfortable or some other reason. What a body, how failing it is. And sometimes we know those who are in that condition, or we ourselves may come to that condition. There is also with this, in 2 Corinthians, when the outer body is wasting away, the inner self can be strengthened. That's not our context, I know, but I would like to link it to this, because we recognize the uselessness of our physical bodies when they are ravaged by disease, by the illnesses, by things that are terminal. And that, though our outward man perishes, our outer selves perish, our inward selves can be renewed day by day. So there is this truth connected with it. Before death, in the difficulties of the body, we still can have the appreciation, the ever-increasing appreciation of all that God is to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, when we come to death, or when we have to bury one of our own, then we say, I'm committing this body to God, who is able to raise this crooked, deformed, wasted body into something glorious.
So let's move on to verse 45 now, to verse 50. We have seen already of with what body shall they come. And again, appreciate the fact, as we have declared, that the body itself is not vile, it's not evil, but this body have limitation to it, and in resurrection it will have that beautiful quality that is really as the body of the Lord Jesus. But now he goes into verse 45. and he kind of even shed more light, bringing back again the two heads, bringing the two order of things, and explain to us in a wonderful way how the dead are raised. We have about 15 minutes, so let's just kind of touch on that quickly.
Yes, I was thinking it's beautiful to see how he comes back again. We had Adam before, right? The first man, Adam, and then we had Christ. And now we have, we had Adam and we had Christ. Now we have the first Adam and we have the last Adam, not the first and second Adam. It is always the first Adam, the last Adam. The first brought in whatever he did. The last brings an end to everything. The first brought in what? Death. Because that's what you have. The first man, Adam, who became a living soul, brought with him the stamp and sentence of death. What does the last Adam bring? The last Adam is a quickening spirit. He brings life. And I think these are the two things we must appreciate as we contrast what Adam first brings in relation to what the last Adam brings in.
Would you say, Brother Dave, it's also more of a contrast between the two heads?
Yes.
In that verse, not in relationship to death, not only in relationship to death, but the greatness of the head of the new creation. Because all what he is highlighting before us in verse 45, that Adam became a living soul. He wasn't able to give life. If you will, life was given to him. But the last Adam, the one who is greater than the head of the old creation, which is the Lord Jesus, himself is the one who gives life. And that's what makes it so beautiful, dear brethren, that there is one that is so much greater, not only now the contrast between death and resurrection, but now it is one who is the source of life and one who has been given life, but he can never give it.
Yeah, but even the first Adam, though, besides the fact that he became a living soul, he was given life, he has not the ability to sustain it.
No.
Could not sustain it. That's where you get the last Adam, a life-giving or a quickening spirit, is able to not only give, but to sustain it.
And that life that we now have in him will be sustained by him in all eternity.
Yes.
And the last Adam, there is no second, no other one coming.
No.
This is all that there is because God sent him. That's the last message, the last Adam. And we need not another.
There's really only two Adams in Scripture, right?
Yes.
So there's a first and a second, but the second is the last.
It always speaks of
first and second man.
Yes. First and second man, yes. But first and second.